The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Welcome back inside the MDN studio, Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket online at WTK.com. Sam will be back in the air chair tomorrow. Some family things to take care of coming off the bye week, but he will be back in the air chair tomorrow. In the meantime, it is time to catch up with our friend, the mayor of Michigan Twitter. He is Scott Bell. He is down in the Metroplex. Scott, how are you this morning down there in Dallas?
Is glad to be back, talk some Michigan football.
Miss having you on last week, so of course we're recapping the Nebraska game and moving forward. I'm not going to really have you go rehashing the Nebraska game overall, but just in general, did you enjoy your bye week, and how are you feeling heading into the second half of the season?
It's good to recharge. It's good to have sort of a, not only like a Saturday that's a little stress-free, but it's good to sort of have that week leading up to a Saturday that's not super stressful too. You kind of had the Wisconsin game obviously ended up going pretty well, but the week leading up to it I think was very, very tense, and then a lot of those same worries were there for Nebraska, and that one obviously turned into a dramatic 60-minute game. But good to sort of get a break, but also great to get back to getting to watch some Michigan football, because that's what we all kind of sign up for in the fall anyways.
So what were your takeaways from that Nebraska game as we move forward and go from there towards this Northwestern matchup?
That's good. It's you want the team to be tested, obviously. It's something you know the team's going to have to face at some point, and it's something you want for them. But then when it's in the moment, obviously it's very tense to have a tie game with 3 minutes to go and you don't have the ball. But you can look at a couple areas of concern on both sides of the ball, but at the same time you can look at both sides of the ball making plays when you have to. And ultimately, it's a team that came away from a really, really tough environment in a tight game that could have gone either way, and they escaped with a W. So I think you got to feel pretty good about that, and it's a good game to head into a bye week off of, I feel like.
And don't you feel, I don't want to completely dismiss Northwestern, they did get off the mat last weekend against Rutgers, but isn't this also a pretty good matchup to get back into action before playing Michigan State? Because we're going to get into this, the second half of the Big Ten season, the Big Ten East season, is going to be pretty remarkable. But I kind of like this matchup for Michigan to play Northwestern before playing Michigan State to get their feet wet again back in action as they, you know, rested some guys up. Hopefully guys are back healthy. And if anyone needs another week or so to get healthy, Northwestern, it seems like a pretty good week to have people still getting healthy again.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree. And like you said, Northwestern's coming off their best game of the year. But it's still, I mean, it's the only real cupcake left on Michigan's schedule. So, don't love Michigan State having a bye heading into the Michigan game, but this is as close to a double bye as Michigan can get. And they're going to have to show up. They're going to have to execute against Northwestern, but I would much rather have Northwestern than any of the other five teams remaining on Michigan's schedule sort of as this bridge out of the bye week.
That's pretty much exactly what I was talking to some friends about over the weekend. If you had to come out, it's kind of like starting the season with Rutgers. You start the second half of the season with Northwestern. You couldn't ask for better opponents to be in those positions. Do you have any concerns with the Northwestern game? I mean, obviously, every game there can be things, but do you look at Northwestern, anything in particular give you concern, or is it just do your thing and Michigan should be fine?
It's largely do your thing and Michigan can be fine. My biggest concerns would probably be injuries and just making sure you stay as full as a team heading into East Lansing, targeting penalties, things of that nature. Obviously, you can't completely dismiss opponents as we head into Michigan State this year. I think last year's Michigan State game is a reminder of that. I think that was like a 20-point spread, and that's what the Northwestern game is. So we have seen in recent memory that you can't automatically pencil in a W, but I do think this is a team that's got really good leadership. I think it's a driven team, and it's not the type of team that's going to completely overlook someone. So there may be some sloppy points. There may be some parts where it doesn't look like a team that's as laser focused as they were heading into Madison per se, where they knew it was a big game. They knew they needed to execute all 60 minutes. But I have enough faith in both the talent and the leadership of this team to where I don't think Saturday is going to be much of a problem.
Yeah, I don't think the Big Ten could have scripted the second half of the schedule much better. I mean, maybe, no, yeah, pretty much they couldn't, right? You have this weekend, Michigan State's on bye. You have Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State all coming off of their byes and having relatively easy, well, I guess Ohio State, Indiana wasn't necessarily expected to be a relatively easy game, but it's looking easier than it may have been before the season started. But then next weekend, you have Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, Penn State. And obviously, Penn State and Michigan State will play the last game of the season, along with Michigan playing Ohio State the last game of the season. The Big Ten East, I don't think has been this compelling ever with four teams sitting where they are. Doesn't mean that they're all going to be in contention on that last day as well, but I don't remember a Big Ten second half setting up for potentially as exciting matchups and games and critical games as we do this year.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. It's going to be really good theater, and it's a welcome change from last year where it really was Ohio State just pulling away from everyone with Indiana being a slight exception. But I mean, Michigan State and Penn State all had very poor seasons last year. So to not only get that back, but to get it back to at the level it is now, where four teams in the same division, like this 17 division out of a 130-team FBS, this 17 division has yielded four top 10 teams. Like, it's pretty incredible. Obviously, just through the law of math and statistics and probabilities, like, that those four aren't going to stay that that highly ranked, because they're all going to play each other and they'll beat up on each other. But to head in the second half of the season and have those four teams be where they are right now is pretty incredible, and it's going to be great for fans. It's going to be good for the health of the Big Ten, and it should be good theater for everyone.
Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Of course, Michigan back at it on Saturday, noon kickoff against Northwestern. Talking to Scott Bell here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. Speaking of Michigan State and branching a little further out, there's been news reported, and news not just reported, but official news out of Louisiana that LSU and Ed Orgeron are separating at the end of the season. And there will be a lot of names being mentioned for that job, but one of the names that got a lot of play yesterday early on in this conversation is Mel Tucker, Michigan State's coach. He was an assistant for Nick Saban at LSU. He coached a couple other spots down there in the SEC. Now, very quickly at Michigan State after the 1 year at Colorado, but I just personally think it would be hilarious to see LSU take another coach from Michigan State. I'm not necessarily saying that Tucker should be the guy or not. It sounds like some LSU people really like him. I just think it would be really funny to see Michigan State lose another football coach to LSU.
Yeah, I think hilarious is a good word there. I mean, it's hard to argue with the job Mel Tucker's doing there in year two. And if he's looking to sell high and cash in his chips, this would probably be the opportunity to do it, because no offense to Michigan State's great start, but I don't think this is going to be a perennial top 10 team. I think his star may dim a little bit in the second half of the season if Michigan State does kind of stumble, but the fact that he has been so highly sought after, from going from Colorado to Michigan State to being in the conversation here, it is a testament to his profile as a coach. I mean, he is an excellent recruiter. He's been a really good coordinator, and he has turned around Michigan State. I mean, nobody expected this in year two, but just in terms of you saying it'd be funny to see LSU take another Michigan State coach, I think it would be funny for Michigan State to sort of get a taste of its own medicine. You poach Colorado's coach who's only there for 1 year, and you kind of laugh at the Colorado fan base for being so jilted about it. If that were to happen and the roles were to reverse, that could be a pretty nice dose of karma. But it's gonna be a pretty big list of candidates, a lot of appealing candidates. I know there's a lot of talk about Jimbo Fisher. It's going to be tough for him to walk away from A&M and all the money he's guaranteed there, but he has a great relationship with Scott Woodward, their athletic director. And then there's obviously a lot of talk about Joe Brady, who the reason Ed Orgeron is probably still has that championship ring from 21 months ago is it's probably more about Joe Brady and the offense he has than anything else. But I think Mel Tucker is a guy that gets a look too, and that's a school in a part of the country where they're over 50% black. They've never had a black head coach, and Mel Tucker is could make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons there.
Will be very interesting to follow. Now you have LSU to go along with USC, two very high-profile coach openings. James Franklin's name is going to be mentioned by everybody. It's going to be interesting. You mentioned it. What happens over the second half of the year, how that impacts people and their names being associated with jobs? Just think when USC's job opened up and people were talking about PJ Fleck and some other names, and names jump, names fall throughout the course of a season. You can play yourself out of a job pretty quickly. For that matter, James Franklin, in theory, could play himself out of a job if he loses to Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State and falls to 8-4. So that's going to be a really interesting thing to follow. Another interesting story from college football. I'm curious your thoughts. I'm sure by now you've seen more than once not only the end of the game, but also the flying objects the last minute or so of the Tennessee-Ole Miss game down there at Neyland Stadium, where they're throwing projectiles at Lane Kiffin with about a minute to go in the game. And then after a 20-minute delay, having that stop and cleaning it up, Joe Milton literally ran out the clock and ran out of bounds instead of throwing a ball downfield to end the game. It was just a terrible ending of that game in so many different ways. But it's making a lot of news. I was curious if you had any thoughts on after watching that one.
It's pretty insane. The Ole Miss-Arkansas game from the week before, the 52-51 game, I'm like, oh, wow, that's like what an incredible game from Ole Miss. I wonder when this is ever going to be topped. And then it's literally the next week where it's just like even more crazy. But from a Tennessee fan standpoint, obviously completely ridiculous behavior, stupid. They should know better. I don't think I try to stop myself from judging the entire fan base by what I usually like to say is a couple of idiots. But based on what that field looked like and things that were going on, it looked like more than a couple of idiots, and I do think that Tennessee fan base in general, between what they did with previous coaching searches and the Greg Schiano stuff and everything, it's not the greatest collection of people I'd be proud to share a fan base with if I was a Tennessee fan. When it comes to Joe Milton, I don't want to root against anyone, especially when it's kids and people that are essentially playing for free or anything. But it was very much a reminder that there can potentially be some addition by subtraction. And I think Michigan's in a good place in its quarterback room right now. And I don't think a lot of Michigan fans were particularly surprised to see how that game ended, and I think it's pretty emblematic of Joe Milton's time in Ann Arbor. Super talented guy, has all the tools, but just doesn't. Not everything seems to click, and the decision not to throw it was obviously a bad one. But the fact that he stepped out of bounds at the end sort of just doubled down on that, and it's. Again, you don't want to see that happen, but I don't think there were Michigan fans that were entirely surprised with how that played out.
All right, we're going to bring things back home to Ann Arbor here in the Michigan Insider, talking to Scott Bell on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. So, Scott, something that Miz and I were talking about earlier this morning. You know, as we have a stress-free bye weekend, so the things that I was thinking about over the weekend, Thursday was Michigan Women's Basketball Media Day. Friday was Michigan Men's Basketball Media Day. Friday night, Michigan played number 5 Minnesota Duluth in hockey. Saturday, they played number 1 Minnesota State in hockey. Things are pretty good right now around these parts, right? Michigan football is number 6 in the country heading into the second part of October, the second half of the season. The basketball team, we don't see what the rankings look like, but they're number 2 in KenPom's early rankings. The hockey team is probably going to be number 1 when the rankings come out later today because number 2 also lost. The women's basketball team is going to be fairly highly ranked when those rankings come out. The field hockey team unfortunately lost in a shootout, but they're still going to be number 2 or something like that in the country. Things are pretty good around here right now.
Absolutely. Pinch me. It's been nice, and I think Michigan fans have suffered through some rough seasons or some rough finishes to seasons, or in the case of hockey, some abrupt ends to seasons, which were pretty unfair last year. So it's a good reward for people that have sort of stuck it out, like you mentioned, with hoops. Number two on KenPom, the AP poll comes out at noon today. So I expect him to be in the top five. And there's a chance, depending on what happens in front of Michigan in football this week, that they could be top five heading into next week, too. So to have and I agree that hockey should be number one. And the way things are clicking, and I know hockey is fickle and things can change every weekend, but the way Michigan's playing, they might be holding on to that number one spot for a while too. So if hoops, football, and hockey, you have three top five teams, I'll have to do some research, but I think that's has to be incredibly rare, if not unprecedented, to have all three of those at the exact same time. So yeah, it's a good time to be a Michigan fan. I think it's a testament of obviously the kids that are in these spots, but I think they've got some good coaches in these spots that are getting the most out of these players too. So overall program health of all these places are good, and these don't look like flash in the pan seasons. These look like programs that are kind of built to last, and hopefully more good things like this to come in the future.
Yeah, I expect a lot more of these kind of conversations with you coming up on Mondays. You know, once we get past football season, we're mainly focusing on basketball and hockey. Just as you said, hockey, you're not going to win every game. It's just the way things happen. But they were down 1-0 to Duluth on Duluth ice, and then they won 5-1. They're playing the number one team in the country. They're down, and they come from behind, and they come back, and they get the late goal, and they win the game. There's something special about the hockey team. You know, we'll see how the football team put themselves in the right position. Now they have to go out there and continue to earn it. And the basketball team, yeah, I got really giddy on Friday, to be honest, Scott. You having a guy that's been to media days, and I know you know that there's only so much you get out of them, but just sitting in the room hearing the players speak, and then I wasn't able to stick around, but the media that was able to stick around and watch the players have practice for 45 minutes or whatever it was that they got to watch. Yeah, you know what it's like to be in that when you see something special. And that basketball team, I mean, it's pretty special.
It's incredible. It's a culture thing, but also it's a full on talent thing. I think a lot of people, obviously Hunter Dickinson coming back is huge. I think for that locker room and for just the general feel of that team, Eli Brooks' return is almost as big. I think it's going to be really big. Helping lead a young but very talented team. And I think he's going to be good in that locker room and good for the future development of that backcourt. But for a team like Michigan that did so well last year, was so dominant in the regular season, made the deepest run in the tournament by far by any Big Ten team. You look at this team, and one of the reasons it's going to be so well next year is so many people that weren't on the team last year. So it's a testament of how Juwan Howard's been able to inject this with talent, keep cycling it in. And you look at players like Caleb Houston and basically that whole incoming class, you are going to have a lot of talent, and obviously who they've brought in through the portal too. There's going to be people to get familiar with. There may be some early season growing pains in terms of getting everyone to gel together and all that good stuff, but this is absolutely a team I feel very good about as the season progresses and heading into March, and that's the way you want things to be headed.
Yeah, I like their starting point, and they're only going to get better throughout the year. It's going to be a lot of fun watching basketball. It'll be a lot of fun talking basketball, hockey, football, and more with you each and every Monday as we continue to do that throughout the rest of the fall. Enjoy your week, Scott, and we'll talk to you next Monday, hopefully after a Michigan victory in football, a couple of Michigan hockey victories, and everything else that they're competing in. Of course, basketball is a couple weeks away. Thanks for your time, as always, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yep, sounds good to me. Sign me up for that.
You got it. We'll talk to Scott Bell next week. Scott, the mayor of Michigan Twitter, joins us each and every week here on the show. And I forgot to ask him, Sam's so good at it. I forgot that. Look up Scott Bell Substack on Substack. Just Google Scott Bell Substack. You'll find his newsletter. Subscribe. He does a great job with his newsletter. I apologize for not asking him about it. He always does a great job with the newsletter. Some bi-week material in there. He's got some basketball stuff in there as well. So I apologize to Scott. I forgot to ask him. Substack. Just Google Scott Bell on Substack. You can find him on Twitter. And all the information is in his Twitter bio as well. Scott Bell, the mayor of Michigan Twitter. Appreciate him joining us as always. We're going to step aside, take a break. Miz and I will continue with the Michigan Insider on the other side of the break here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.